Now, normally at this time, I would play the Browns theme, the one that kind of wavers a little bit because they lost yesterday, but Bruce put it away. I can't find it, so we're going with the Fox theme. But one thing that remains the same, on the line is Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram to talk about yesterday's game. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for being with us today.
Sure thing. How are you?
All right. So where are you today? Are you back from New York yet?
I am. I'm driving home from the airport.
Okay. Let's just chat briefly about yesterday's game. First of all, your whirlwind tour around the league again. What's the experience like where you see the Jets play?
Oh, well, you know what? It's interesting because that's where the Super Bowl is going to be in 6 weeks. And I've been to the old Meadowlands, the old Giant Stadium. And obviously, this one's nicer. It's got more amenities, you know, more luxury suites and that kind of thing. But there's nothing special about the stadium. You know, it's just a bowl. You can't see any skyline. There's nothing that makes it unique to New Jersey or New York. It's just a big stadium. So, you know, I understand why the NFL is going there for a Super Bowl because it's such a big market. And if they can play an outside game and have some success, then that opens up other markets like maybe Chicago or Philadelphia or whatever. And the more markets that bid, the more money the league makes. But, there's nothing remarkable about the stadium at all.
You know, a lot of fans, you know, regular fans don't end up going to a Super Bowl. The movers and shakers often do. What about parking facilities or hotel facilities nearby?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure how they're going to handle that. And I was asking some people that are going to go to the game, a couple media members, and I think it could be an issue. There's nothing by the stadium. I mean, the stadium's in East Rutherford, New Jersey. You know, I stayed in Newark, which is maybe half an hour, 20 minutes away, drive. I know that the officials in New York and New Jersey and the NFL officials want people to take public transportation. They want it to be a public transportation Super Bowl, whether it's the New Jersey Transit from the Newark airport into Manhattan or the subway system or the buses, because you're going to have, you know, I don't know if it gets to be a million people, but say you have an extra 500,000 people in that area, there's no way that the roadways that are already over congested can handle that. So they're going to try to get people to take public transportation. It'll be interesting because I got down to the city on Saturday, New York City, and it was a zoo for Christmas, trying to get to see the tree and the ice skating rink and all that stuff at Rockefeller Center. And I can't imagine if you added, you know, another 200,000 people. So it should be interesting, but I'll tell you what, there'll be a lot of stuff to do, that's for sure.
Well, Browns fans no doubt are dreaming of a Super Bowl someday in the future, but certainly not this season. Let's talk about yesterday's game. They jump out to a 10-0 lead, and I'm thinking, hey, this could be the day. But it was not meant to be. Your thoughts on what happened?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, just you kind of get excited a little bit, 10-0. But at the time, you thought, you know what, it could be more. They had chances in the red zone. Greg Little drops a pass in the end zone. Josh Gordon, who's having a great year, drops one or two passes in the end zone on back-to-back plays, and they don't score at all. So you can kind of see it setting up for, you know what, if they're going to lose, this is what they can point to. And then the defense, I'll tell you what, for being solid as it was for most of this season, has really fallen apart down the stretch. And at the end, they've let scoring drives up in eight of the last nine games right before halftime. They couldn't get off the field. They let up 10 points within the last, I think it's 78 seconds of the first half, and all of a sudden the 10-0 lead turns into a 10-10 tied halftime. The Jets have all the momentum, and the Browns are reeling. And then after the game, quarterback Jason Campbell talks about how you could tell everything was unraveling and we couldn't figure out how to fix it and everybody's pressing. Well, you know, he's a veteran quarterback. You'd like to think that he could steady the ship, but he admitted that he failed to do that. I mean, that's kind of the second time in a few days where someone's questioned the mental toughness of the team. Defensive coordinator Ray Horton did it during the last week. So you got to wonder why these guys can't close out games. And it's defense, it's offense, special teams, and it's obviously becoming a huge problem because now they've lost six in a row. And that was as bad a loss as they've had all season.
One of the hot topics on sports radio talk shows this past week was, are the Browns better off now than they were a year ago, even though the record's worse? And after yesterday, your thoughts on that?
Well, after yesterday, it's tough to make that argument. However, that's a tough one. Because if you go big picture, you can say, well, we didn't think Josh Gordon was a superstar last year. Now I believe we know he is, or at least we strongly think he is. Jordan Cameron, we didn't, you know, he had 26 career catches. Looks like a legitimate number one tight end, possible Pro Bowler. You saw signs of some guys on defense. Buster Screen had a good year. I'm confident he can play in this league. Desmond Bryant had a good year before he left at the irregular heartbeat. So there's little things you can point to. But from a big picture standpoint, they still haven't solved the quarterback situation. You know, maybe Brian Hoyer can be that guy. You know, we only saw him start 3 games. You know, that's not nearly a big enough sample size. We've seen plenty of guys play 2 good games in a row. So, you know, they haven't solved that. They still have major talent deficiencies at numerous positions. And then in the areas where they thought they solved it, like outside linebacker, for example, they spent a ton of money on Paul Kruger, and they drafted Barkevius Mingo number 6. And yesterday they did not hit the Jets quarterback, Geno Smith, once all day, which is almost impossible not to hit a guy. And it's a rookie who turned it over 25 times with the lowest quarterback rating in the league. They didn't fluster him. They didn't hit him. They didn't force a turnover. So you go, well, if that's supposed to be a strength and we can't do anything against the Jets, and then on top of that, when they've blown these fourth quarter leads the last 3 weeks, they've not been able to get sacks at crucial times, you start to wonder, are there more holes than we thought 4 weeks ago? So, you know, my thought is that, yes, they're better off. I do like Chubb, the coach. I like his staff. You know, I still have confidence in Joe Banner, the CEO running the whole operation. But I couldn't guarantee you that they're better off, for sure. And they didn't play like they're better off yesterday.
Right before halftime, the Browns, they were trying to be aggressive, I guess, and maybe score again. They threw the ball off, and the Jets got the ball back and scored.
Yeah.
That seems to happen. That's not the first time that's happened this season. And
no,
do you think that's coming from Norv?
Well, no, that's a Chud philosophy, is we're going to attack. And I criticized Chud pretty strongly after the Jacksonville game when Brandon Whedon had the back-to-back interceptions at the end of the half, and the Jaguars scored, I think, 3 times in the last, 3 minutes. And the game got away from them, and then they wound up actually coming rallying, and then they give up a late touchdown anyway. But that's just Coach Rob Pshadinsky's philosophy. We're going to attack. If we believe we can score, we're going to try to score. I did not have a problem with it yesterday. And, in fact, quarterback Jason Campbell, if he makes a decent throw, he's got tight end Marquise Gray for a big gain on third down in the Browns. Are close or in field or scoring position. So I didn't have a big problem with it yesterday, but what happens is you punt, and the Jets were willing to take a knee, or not take a knee, they were willing to go into halftime down 10-7, and the Browns give up a 39-yard run on a simple handoff up the middle, and all of a sudden the Jets have time to kick a field goal. So, you know, we talk about complementary football when a team wins, you know, the offense, defense, special teams. Well, the Browns are playing complementary football where nobody picks up any other unit. The offense doesn't make a play. Well, all the defense has to do is stop the guy one time, and the Jets probably don't call a timeout. And instead they give up a 39-yard run, turns into 3 points, and the momentum switch continues. And we've seen that repeatedly down the stretch in that New England game. The offense scores, defense gives up a touchdown, all the special teams have to do is recover an onside kick. Don't. Defense gives up another touchdown. So it just piles on one thing after another, and what you get is, you know, 9 losses in the last 10 games.
We're talking with Scott Petrick from the Chronicle-Telegram today. And, Scott, next up for the Browns, the last game of the season with the Steelers. And correct me if I'm mistaken, but I think the Steelers are still in the playoff hunt.
They are. They've rallied, and now they're 7-8. They need some stuff to happen. I think they need 3 teams to lose on Sunday, and then they'd have to beat the Browns, and Pittsburgh would be in. I think they need Baltimore, San Diego, and Miami all to lose, if I'm correct. So, you know, they talk about mental makeup. We've seen the Ravens and the Steelers, where everyone counted them out, and they've made late-season runs to get back into playoff contention, and they're both alive with 1 week to go, where the Browns are in the same spot. The Browns are actually ahead of both those teams about week 9 or 10, and the Browns haven't won since, and those two teams have made rallies. And it goes to the winning culture I think it goes to coaching. I think it goes to stability within the organization and a history of success. But you can see that the season doesn't have to be over when you start losing games early. But, you know, it has been for the Browns when they get off to bad starts. They've never been able to rally after a bad start to a season.
Really is tough how it's worked out this season because, after all, you know, we've got 5 months to talk about the draft.
Ah. Can't wait.
No, can't. Hey, we thank you for your insight throughout the season, and we'll have you back one more time, and we'll check with you next Monday on the Steelers-Browns contest and see what happens and where we go from here.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Scott.
All right, thanks.
Scott Petrick from the Chronicle-Telegram here on AM 930 WEOL.